There's a terminology that we use around here sometimes. We call it flow. Anybody ever heard somebody talk about flow? Not overflow. Everybody likes to talk a lot about living in the overflow. I'm talking about the flow. I don't know about you. I don't want to live in the overflow. I want to live in the flow. I want to be smack dab in the middle of the stream. I want the stream running around me. I want it pushing me. That's where I desire to be. And we talk a lot about that, the flow, what it means to be in the flow, what it means to live in the flow, to operate in the flow. And there's a scripture that comes to mind when we begin to talk about flow, and that is the scripture that in the book of John where Jesus said that he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We talked a lot in the pause meeting, or pause, however you say that. We got corrected on Wednesday night. We talked in that meeting about rivers. There was a lot of discussion about rivers, the power of a river, what a river does, the process of a river. And as I begin to think about that, as the Lord has led me to this place of discussing and waiting on him about flow, I had some people come to me and ask me, what do you guys talk about flow all the time? What's that mean? What does it mean to live in the flow? What does it mean to talk about the flow, to operate in the flow, to step into the flow? What does that mean? And so the scripture that came to my mind was a scripture in John that I just quoted, and the idea of the river. There are, when you look at the United States as a whole, when you look at even Washington State as a whole, there are many different rivers that exist, and each river has a source. A river doesn't just exist of itself. Now, I understand that there's a river in Oregon that I grew up around, the Metolius River. The Metolius just comes up out of the ground, just bubbles up out of the ground. But it has a source. There's a spring there that's creating that river and creates flow. It gives it flow. But each river has a source. As I begin to look at some of the major rivers around here, one of the ones that stood out to me was the Yakima River, because when you travel over the pass, you travel past the source of the Yakima River. The Yakima River, I don't know if you realize this or not, but it's 214 miles long, and it's one of the longest rivers in the United States that resides in a single state. There's a lot of long rivers, but they cross state lines and they run through multiple states. But the Yakima River, which I didn't realize that until I began to kind of look into it a little bit, it's one of the longest rivers that stays in a single state, 214 miles. But you drive past its source. Its source is a reservoir. It's a lake. And that lake, the river just pours out of that lake. That river doesn't have to come up with its own source. The banks that house that river don't have to try to produce water. They just simply house. They just simply allow what originates from the source to be passed through them. And it's no different in the spirit. When I, as a vessel that houses the Spirit of God, simply just allows his spirit to flow through me. It flows out of me, and it comes out of me in my communication. It comes out of me in my actions. It comes out of me in my attitude. The New Testament would say it this way. One of the writers of the epistles would say that the fruit of the spirit is, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, patience, meekness, what else? Kindness, gentleness. All these things are the fruit of the Spirit of God. They are the outflow of. They are produced by the Spirit of God being resident in me. And so when I speak, love will be spoken out of my mouth. If when I speak there's only hatred flowing out of me, then I'm not living in the flow of the Spirit. There is not a current flow in me. You say, what do you mean? Oh, just hang out with me on like day 4 or 5 when I haven't spent any time in the Word or in the Spirit. You say, oh, how what? Let's not talk about that today. We're all creatures. We're all creatures of flesh. We're all vessels that become empty. And the things that we like about each other, the things that attract us to each other, our personalities, these things should be born out of the Spirit of God being resident in us. But when His Spirit is lacking in us, the only thing that can come out of me are the opposites of the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, the writer of the epistles, I think it was in the book of Galatians or Ephesians, he actually wrote the opposite of that. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, envy, jealousy, hatred. All these things, they're the opposites of the fruit of the Spirit. You say, well, I've been born again. I was baptized in Jesus' name. All those things are gone from me. No, they're not. Just live a few days outside the Spirit of God. Just allow the flow of His Spirit to be cut off from your life for a little while and see what's produced. If you take a limb off a tree, you can take a beautiful limb, absolutely stunning limb. Maybe it's full of beautiful flowers. Maybe it's got some pieces of delicious fruit hanging off of it. And if you cut it off, let's use an apple tree for example. Find me the most luscious Honeycrisp apple tree with a beautiful branch growing off of it that houses multiple Honeycrisp apples ready to be picked, or maybe a month prior to being picked, and you chopped it off and you just threw it out on the ground and you left it there, disconnecting it from its life source, disconnecting it from the flow of nutrients that it needs to survive. You would take a luscious apple that any one of us in the room right now would eat and enjoy. Maybe cut it up, dip it in some peanut butter or something. Maybe just eat it whole, let the juices run down your arm. You give it a few weeks in this heat laying on the ground, and there ain't a single one of you in the room would probably touch it. It'd be raunchy and stinky. It'd squish in your hands. Come on, bro, take a bite. No, nobody wants that. Why not? Because it's been disconnected from its life flow. It's been disconnected from what brings it water and nutrients and makes it good. Outside of the flow of the Spirit and the power of God in my life, I'm useless. Nobody wants to be around me. I'm just being real. Let's talk about it from a ministry standpoint for a little while. If it's true of me and my human nature, that there's, Paul said it this way. He said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Everybody say, no good thing. Everybody say, not one good thing. Oh, but I'm pretty good. Not one good thing. Oh, but I'm really good. Not one good thing. Oh, but I excel at that. Not one good thing. I know. That's hard to swallow because I think I'm pretty good. We all do. Oh, I'm good at this. I'm a good this. I'm a good fisherman. I'm a good hunter. I'm a good this. I'm a good singer. I'm a good player. I'm a good ball player. In me, in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. And so if on the spiritual side in everyday life, if I'm disconnected from the life source, if I don't have the flow, that river of living water that it flows out of me, that brings gentleness, kindness, faith, patience, love, all of those things, if they're not flowing out of me, then when I step into a dimension of ministry without that same flow, then what am I producing? What is it that I'm supposed to walk in? I'm talking about ministry from a broad spectrum. We could narrow it down to pulpit ministry if you want, but let's just talk about it from a broad spectrum. when I speak, do people recognize that there's a flow of the Spirit of God out of me? I'm not saying like, whoa, here forth cometh the river. You ever been in a conversation with someone that you met for the first time and I said, you know what? There's just something different about you. I don't know what it is. There's a man, he works for a property management company here in town, and he had a whole bunch of hay, and he had it for sale, and I needed hay, and so I reached out to him, and I went to buy some hay, and we got to talking outside the barn, and I loaded my hay up, but Jeremiah was with me that day, and he helped me load it, and we were getting ready to leave, and we started a conversation with this guy. Actually, I think, if I remember it correctly, Jeremiah loaded it while this guy engaged in conversation with me, because he started talking, and I couldn't get away from him, and Jeremiah ended up loading 60 bales of hay by himself. That's why he's fit and I'm fat. But he engaged in conversation with me. And I, the whole time he was talking, I thought, man, I need to get in there. I need to get in the barn and help him load this hay. We got to get this hay loaded. And he just kept asking me questions. So where are you from again? What do you do? Why do you do this? And finally, I got away from Jeremiah, walked out. He finished loading it. We're standing there for 10 minutes more talking. I paid him. We left. And I thought, this isn't the greatest hay ever, but I'm going to have to keep buying hay from this guy because I need to stay in communication with him. And so I did, I ended up meeting him three or four more times, and we entered into conversations, and I got to know a little bit about him, and come to find out, he was getting ready to retire, and he had just bought a home in Yakima. So the next time I went to get hay, I said, hey, Bishop, you're coming with me. So we rolled out there, and this time I loaded the trailer, and he talked. And they started up this conversation about Yakima. The last couple of days of harvest, my wife and I dropped in. We're helping out. One night I text him. I said, hey, are you in town? He said, what town? I said, Yakima. He goes, yeah, I'm here. I said, why don't you come out tomorrow? Here's the address of the farm. Come out and say hi. So he came out, and we had a bag of cherries for him. And he came out, and he goes, I don't know why I'm here today. I don't really know you. He goes, I don't really know your dad either. He goes, but there's just something about you guys. I just can't get away from you. Now, we haven't had any deep theological conversations, but I believe that when, as vessels, when the Holy Ghost is flowing through us, when it's a river, you can't stop rivers. You can dam them up, but eventually the water pours over the dam, right? Eventually, you can dam a river up, but it's going to find a different. You may dam it up, and it may not be 214 miles long anymore. It may be 214 miles wide. But you can't stop the flow. When the flow of the Spirit of God, when the river of living water is flowing through you, you can't just shut it off and say, we're going to talk in the flesh for a few minutes. No, it just comes out of you. And maybe the fruit of the Spirit of God to an individual, the fruit that the Spirit of God is evident, resident in you to an individual, maybe in the form of, I don't know why, but every time I get around you, I just feel so much peace. Can we have coffee again? I don't know why, but I get around you and all of a sudden I feel better. I feel joy. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You can't shut that flow off. You can be in Starbucks sipping a really expensive cup of coffee and the flow's still coming. Just talking, just let it flow out of you. So then that led me down a wild goose chase. And I'm going to read you a couple things here that I jotted down this morning. Because then I started going to this idea of this the Word of God. What is the Word of God? There are two words. Two Greek words that are translated word in the New Testament. One is logos, and the other is rhema. Logos refers to the, let me read it to you, just so that we're on the same page here. Logos refers principally to the total inspired Word of God, and also Jesus, who was the living logos. He was the living word. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. I like this reference, Hebrews 4:12, and I went and found these where it's translated logos, where it's translated rhema. And this one in Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the logos. I'm thankful for the logos. I'm thankful that I can open up my Bible every morning. I begin to read the quickening power, quickening word of God. There are days where I get up and I'm not sure what's going to happen, what I'm dealing with, what I'm feeling. It's just one of them blah days. And I can get in the Word and begin to read, and the Logos begins to feed me. And it lifts my spirit. And then I begin to pray, and I begin to allow that river of living water to flow through me. And it produces something. Oh, no, I can't produce it on my own. I can't produce it in purchasing things. I can't produce it in buying things. I can't produce it with enough play dates and get-togethers with friends and family and all the things that we try to do to make sure that we're on the end and that we feel good. You can't produce it from that. But a lifestyle spent in the Spirit and feeding myself the Logos, that written Word of God, divinely inspired Word of God, lifts my spirit. So the second word, rhema. This is the word I want to focus on today for a few minutes. It literally means a word that is spoken, an utterance. An utterance. Rhema. Anybody here ever received a rhema? Somebody spoke something. The word of God was spoken into your spirit. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 is one of the verses that comes to mind when you begin to look this up. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. This means something completely different to everybody. Every situation. I was thinking about this a couple of weeks ago in relation to faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, something happens. I can be in the darkest point of my life. I can be in the deepest valley of my life. I can be unsure of my next step or what's going to happen. But in the moment when the Lord gives me a spoken word that is spoken into my spirit, it ignites faith in me by the hearing of that spoken word. You see, sometimes we can wander around and we can try to amp up our faith with some good praise and worship music. I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Yes. And we get the vacuum cleaner out. We're cleaning the house to some really good praise and worship music. Go from that into Oceans. Woo. Face rising. We go from that into Reckless. And face rising. We try all these means and methods to increase our faith when the Word of God says that faith comes by a rhema. It's by hearing the spoken word of God, a word received into my spirit for my situation, utterance, and it ignites something in me. I can be sick in my body and not sure what's going on. I heard somebody talk about this a couple of days ago, and this came alive to me. A couple of years ago when I had injured my back very, very badly and I was in extreme pain and I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I couldn't sit. I couldn't stand. And some of you that were here on a Wednesday night heard my testimony about that. At the very beginning of that, my wife spoke a word to me and said, God's going to heal you. And I got to tell you, my faith was about that big at that point. I had zero faith. I was in pain. I was destitute in my body. I was trying to find everything I could. I was visiting the doctor. I'd even visited a surgeon. And she said to me on the way to the surgeon that day, she said, we can go and we can do this. But God gave me a word that he's going to heal you. I am telling you, the faith, this wasn't like, come on, honey, let's just pray. Let's just pray a couple hours longer. Come on, honey, let's give a little bit more time and some praise and worship music around the house. And God's going to, no, she received a word from God that I'm going to heal your husband's back. And she walked in a faith by the hearing of that spoken word. I don't know what it is that you're up against today. But something happens in the spirit. Something happens within my spirit. Something happens within me when the word of God goes forth. Unbeknownst to anybody in the room, God wants to heal somebody today. Oh, I know that this situation's a wreck, and I know that you're struggling, but God's going to provide. He's a provider. And my spirit leaps out and says, yes, that's for me. I grab a hold of it. Yes, he's going to restore me. Yes, he's going to restore my family. Yes, he's going to restore my health. Yes, he's going to restore my finances. And I receive the word, and I walk in a different dimension of faith because I've heard the spoken word of God, the rhema, for my situation. Somebody ought to thank God right now for the rhema that you've received. Stir up the faith right now that was imparted, that was heard, Father, by the spoken word of God. Stir that faith up right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 6. Go to verse 12 if you can, Sergi. I only wrote down verse 17, but I think I want to read it all. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod, verse 15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is in the original, the rhema of God. You want to be victorious in the battle in your mind? Do you feel haunted at times in your mind? Voices and attacks of the enemy. The scripture calls them fiery darts of the wicked one. The scripture says that you've got to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema, that spoken word, a specific word for me in my situation, a specific word for me in my trial. I need that in my possession because I'm going to be victorious. One more. John chapter 15 and verse 7. Musicians can come. John 15, 7. Now, let me say something to you. I came alive when I read the scripture today with a new, fresh understanding. We read this, we've read the scripture out. I've been in church for years. I've read the scripture a lot. I've heard a lot of people preach the scripture. I've heard people say, just ask it. Sons of God, ask it. It's yours. Okay. Let's see. I'd like a fishing boat. I'd like a new truck. Right? That's how we portray it sometimes in Christianity. What do you want? Name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it. It's yours. Woo! Right? The scripture says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Woo! Fortunately, that's rhema. So if you read it that way, if you abide in me and my rhema abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. So that's a little bit different type of prayer. Right, Sister Lindsay? You're praying, interceding. And the Lord says, I want you to speak over your family right now. And I want you to speak restoration to every backslidden family member. And you speak a word in faith, a rhema of God that's spoken over your situation. And he said, if my rhema's in you, when you ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. That's why I can't just live in the flow. I can't just operate. I've got to pray in the flow. I've got to pray in the Spirit. I've got to allow the Spirit of God to be prayed through me so that his utterance can be born and birthed in me. And then I can speak that word. You see, there's a different kind of faith. I'm not being facetious here. When I'm praying, oh God, you know, thank you, Jesus, for my wife and kids. And Lord, I could use $3 more an hour on my job. That'd be great. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I gotta be honest with you, I don't feel a lot of faith. I just don't. Maybe you do. Hats off to you if you do. Let me show you something different. I'm in prayer. And I'm waiting on the Lord. And the Lord brings an utterance to my spirit. Father, I'm asking you to open doors of my employment. In the name of Jesus. Oh, something begins to stir in my spirit. Faith is born. By the hearing of the spoken rhema of God. Yeah, you, when you pray, the utterance of the Spirit, and you begin to give way, you begin to yield yourself to what you feel led to pray about in the moment. You, by your own words, speaking the word of God, the utterance of God, brings faith into your spirit. You don't got to wait for somebody to get up on Sunday and say, thus saith the Lord, the prodigals are coming home. Woo! I'm not saying it doesn't happen that way. Thus saith the Lord, I've got great increase financially for you. Woo! I'm going to take that word. My faith is strong. I'm not saying it doesn't happen that way. But when I'm in a prayer time alone with God, and I begin to feel the utterance of the Spirit, God, you're going to provide for me. I take authority over every attack of the enemy right now against my finances. I take authority over every attack of the enemy right now against my marriage. I pray against every attack against my children. I pray a protection over them. Something begins to be stirred in my spirit. Faith is ignited in my spirit by the spoken word of God. And ye shall ask what ye will. It shall be done unto you. In Jesus' name. 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 Come on, there's spoken rhema all over this place. I'm talking to a group of praying believers today. There's spoken rhema all over this place. In the name of Jesus. 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 I want us to stand right now. Don't stop praying. That was your rhema. That was your rhema. You spoke the utterance of God in prayer. That was yours. I didn't speak that over you. The Holy Ghost gave you that utterance. Let your faith rise right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. This altar is open right now. This is up to you. The enemy will try so hard to convince you that that was your flesh. All those things you prayed, those things you received, that word you received, that was flesh. You need to, with the help of the Holy Ghost, remind yourself of the witness in your spirit, the witness that you felt in that moment that you spoke the utterance of God. The day you declared that rhema, you need to remind yourself of the witness that was in your spirit. I'm talking about the day your spirit bore witness with the Spirit of God. That word's mine. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Verse 1. Jesus says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth in me, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And verse 3, now you are clean through the word. You're clean through the word. That word is logos, what we just talked about, which I have spoken unto you. He spoke the logos, and it cleans us. The next verse in verse 4 says, abide in me. And this is where we struggle. It's because we can come into a place in this setting just like this every week, and we can find that place in him. We can tap into that flow, and we can again let that river flow out of us and through us. And then in our humanity, we walk away. And then the next 2 days, we try to figure it out in our flesh. That's not abiding. But he says if we'll abide in him, if we'll continue to just stay there, to live there, to make your permanent residence there, it can't be a once or twice a week thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, I want to abide in you. I want to abide in your spirit. I want to abide in the very middle of the flow, in the very middle of your will for me. In the name of Jesus. Hikalarabashatorikaya. Limando siatayarabahai. Let me not venture to my own will, Jesus. Let me not venture to the will of my flesh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hirarabahasatahai. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord bless you. May he prosper you this week. Abide in him.